Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For all intents and purposes, it looks like this world is spinning out of control, doesn't it? It looks like wickedness has won and righteousness has lost. It looks like unbelievers are almost being rewarded for their wickedness while believers are being punished for their righteousness. It looks like Jesus has forgot his promise to come quickly, to come soon. And when it looks like that to you, you remember it's supposed to. God told you long ago that it would look like that. More and more as the day approaches when Jesus will return, you remember his promise and his word that scoffers will always be around asking, where is this coming he has promised? But it will come. As the prophet Daniel prophesied, as the apostle Peter prophesied, as Jesus himself prophesied in the gospel, the day will come when the Son of Man will return in glory this time, accompanied by 10,000 times 10,000 of his angels and the other holy ones, the saints who have fallen asleep in him. He will return and sit on his glorious throne, he says, and at that time there will be many shocking revelations. Shocking revelations at the final judgment. Before him will be gathered all the nations, Jesus says. And here is where shock and horror will truly overtake the world, the scoffers, the unbelievers, where everyone who did not know the Father of Jesus and worship him through the Lord Jesus Christ will find out what it means to fall into the hands of the living God. Here is where and when the spotlight will finally go out into the darkest corners of the night where people thought they were safe. Safe to do the evil things they wanted to do. Safe to worship whatever God they wanted to worship. Safe to believe whatever they wanted to believe. Safe not to have to worry about God there in the corner, where he's not looking. But then all nations will be gathered before the Son of Man, and there will be no dark corner to hide in anymore, not for anyone. He will come and sit on his throne, and everyone will appear before him, those who loved him, those who hated him, and those who were indifferent toward him. But as you heard in the gospel, this will not be a trial. There will be no plaintiff and no defendant, no lawyers, no witnesses, no evidence presented. This judge knows all. And when he judges, he will not ask anyone to come and explain themselves. He will not ask anyone to come and justify why they did the things they did. It's not a trial. As soon as he comes, what does he say? He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. All the facts are already entered into evidence at that time. All the verdicts are already entered. All the sentences already determined. On what basis? When? Why? How? Here, in this gospel spoken to Jesus' disciples on the Mount of Olives just 2 or 3 days before Jesus would die, he doesn't remind them how and on what basis, but he had told them many times before, as he has told you many times before. You know what it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And he goes on, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Jesus expects us to remember that he said that. He expects us to know what the Apostle Paul said about how we stand as one of the sheep on the right hand of God. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Faith in Christ. Faith alone is what places us among the sheep at the final judgment. So why does Jesus not speak a word about faith in this gospel? Why does he only bring up the works of mercy that the wicked did not do, and the works of mercy that the righteous did do? Because while Jesus sees faith, a tree is known by its fruit. And so he pronounces before all, so that all can see, not faith, which only Jesus can see, but the fruits that were there or were not. That will be a shock to the unbelieving world, a shocking revelation at the final judgment, because none of the good deeds that people relied on in order to be able to stand before God on that day will be remembered by the judge. None of them. Everything that doesn't come from faith is sin in God's eyes. And what is the reaction of the unbelievers, the goats, after the king reads the long list of works of mercy that they did not do for him? What? What do you mean? What do you mean we didn't clothe you, feed you, give you something to drink, take care of you, or visit you, Jesus? What do you mean we didn't do those things? What do you mean? We didn't even see you. They're shocked when all that is remembered about them is all the good they didn't do for Jesus and for his little brothers, the saints. "Whatever you didn't do for the least of these brothers of mine, you didn't do for me." And yes, there is shock and terror there too for the hypocritical Christians throughout the ages, for those who once tasted the grace of Jesus and then spit it out again, like Judas, who was there on the Mount of Olives as Jesus told this parable to his disciples just a day or two before Judas would hand him over to be crucified. He was one of those hypocritical Christians who called himself a disciple of Christ but didn't love Jesus or his little brothers. What will the hypocritical Christians say on that day? "I didn't know. Jesus, I didn't know that you wanted me to care about my fellow Christians in the world. I thought you would be happy that I was in church once in a while. I thought you'd be happy that I took the mandatory two communions a year to keep the pastor off my back. I thought you would be happy that I showed up, that I called myself a Christian. I didn't know that you didn't want me to talk crudely and rudely to my fellow Christians. How was I supposed to know you wanted me to feed them, visit them, care for them, love them?" Jesus, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you don't notice that I say I believe in you. And he will say, "Oh, is that what you call believing?" You see, Jesus will say, "I was watching. I saw the faith you once had, the forgiveness of sins that I gave to you and that you received, the grace that I lavished on you. I was there to hold you, to comfort you, to forgive you over and over again, to strengthen you against all temptation and all attacks of the evil one. I was there. I offered you my body and blood once on the cross and then week after week in the sacrament. I know I was there. But then I watched you begin to think other things were more important. I sent my servants to you, calling out to you to remain in me and in my word, calling out to you then to return to me and be saved, and you didn't listen. I watched your faith die. And then even though you hid your dead faith from the rest of my children, I looked on as you became a worse reprobate than the unbelievers out there who take care of their own and show mercy to their own more than you ever did for my saints. I was there. It was me you turned away from your door. It was me you ignored. It was me you didn't care for. It was me you were too busy to help. This parable of Jesus, this prophetic parable that he told to his disciples on the Mount of Olives just before he died, is a call to repentance for all of us and for the hypocritical Christians who don't love Jesus or his children. For those who will be converted back to faith in him before it's too late, before the day of judgment when he returns, he calls out now. He calls out to repent. But this parable is also a great comfort and relief to those who cling to Christ in faith. Because what is the reaction of the sheep after Jesus reads the list of all the works of mercy that they did for him? What do they say? They're shocked. It's a shocking revelation that he should list all these things that they did for him. What do you mean? We served you in all these ways, Jesus. When did we do all these good works you're giving us credit for? And isn't that the case for believers in Jesus? They do the works of mercy and love, especially for fellow believers, and yet they're shocked when they're given credit for it, because they never did it for credit. They didn't even let their right hand know what their left hand was doing most of the time. They weren't focused on their works. On the contrary, the sheep have always been fully aware that their works do not measure up to God's judgment, that they deserve God's wrath and condemnation on that day when Jesus comes. But long before the day of judgment, the sheep have heard the shepherd's voice calling out to them, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The sheep trust in the shepherd who loved them and gave himself for them. They know him. They want to be where their shepherd is. They want to follow in the footsteps of their shepherd, but the sheep see themselves in a different light, as those who don't do the good that they want to do. No, the evil they don't want to do, this they keep on doing. And so they're shocked that on the last day, Jesus doesn't list any of those evil things, even the evil that tainted their good works. He doesn't list that evil, but instead gives them credit for the good works of mercy that they did by faith in him that are few and far between compared with the works of mercy and love that Jesus showed while he was on this earth. But then that's the point. The sheep, by faith in Christ, are covered with that righteous life of Jesus that showed mercy to all, that served all, that suffered and died for all. They're covered with it. They can't be condemned. They're able to stand before him in the judgment because of Jesus. And then even though it was Jesus working through them to do all those works of mercy and love to his little brothers, he gives them credit for it. What a shocking revelation at the final judgment. So, a visit to the home or to the nursing home of a fellow believer who needs a friend or needs care. The visit to the home of a friend and fellow Christian whose wife has recently died or who is about to. cleaning up after your brothers and sisters in Christ, before church and after church, and getting a funeral ready and a luncheon after a funeral. Every morsel of food prepared and given to those in need because they're a Christian, because they're a little brother or sister of Jesus, that will be revealed at the last day. It doesn't go unnoticed. Every bit of care and concern and help for Jesus' littlest brothers, the children among us, from welcoming them at the baptismal font to all of their Christian instruction and training and upbringing, it all is seen by the King and the Judge. And shock of all shocks, it will even be rewarded at the last day. Isn't that grace upon grace? Truly, I say to you, Jesus says, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. This is what it is to live under grace and not under the law. To know that we stand before God because of Jesus by faith in him as our throne of grace on the last day and today as well. To live for him until the day comes when he returns in holiness and godliness, in works of service and love to one another, without fear, without compulsion. And when that day comes, when Jesus comes, he will give to you and to me and to all who have longed for his appearing everything we have hoped for and more. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven itself is our eternal reward from God, and to stand in the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can't even imagine what that will be like. But that is the shocking revelation that awaits you on the last day at the final judgment. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.